I'd like to welcome each one to the gospel meeting this evening. The word gospel means good news. And indeed, we have good news this evening. In saying that, I would say it behooves us to listen to the word of God. The Bible that we hold in our hands is a living word of God. It behooves us to listen and to obey the word of God. When God says things more than once in His Word, we should pay attention. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45, in the middle of verse 23, it says, "Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear." Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, in the middle of verse 11. "Every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and verse 10. "That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow." Verse 11. "And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I believe everyone in this room here this evening has knees. I believe everyone in this room this evening has a tongue. Your knees, according to the word of God, one day shall bow. Your tongue one day shall confess. This is why it's so important to have a gospel meeting, because if you don't bow now, if you don't confess now, someday, when you stand before Him as your judge, then those knees will bow. Then that tongue will confess. But the gospel meeting is that God has made a way of escape from judgment. Because the Lord Jesus, in His love, bore our judgment on Calvary's cross and took our place there that we might be saved from that judgment. Let's begin this evening with singing hymn number 18 on the hymn sheet. Hymn number 18. God loved the world so tenderly. we bow in prayer? Let's also turn in our hymn sheet to hymn number 26. And let's sing the first and the last verse of number 26. There is life in our love and the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then love, sinner, love unto him and be saved, unto him who was nailed. John's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 39, the Lord Jesus says these words, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Point in time, when the Lord Jesus said this, only the Old Testament was written. So we're going to go back to the book of Ezekiel this evening with the Lord's help. Ezekiel chapter 33. We're going to draw with the Lord's help from this chapter pictures and examples and little things that remind us of the gospel. Things that remind us of the Lord Jesus and what he's done. Things that remind us of what our condition is without him and how he can give us eternal life. You know, if you walk out here in the parking lot, there's arrows on the ground. Also, over in this parking lot, you'll see a sign that says, "Do not enter by a roadway." Then if you go down this direction, you'll see another sign by a road. It says, "Do not enter." Why? What would happen if you enter there? What could happen? Those signs are placed there for a reason. They're for public safety. God says what he says in his word for a reason. It's for your eternal safety. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 33. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, "Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman," those who have hosted this conference have set a watchman. because they know there is a need. They have asked that someone would stand up here and speak because they know that there is a need. And yet for the one who stands up to speak, there is a responsibility. These things are not to be taken lightly. Verse 3. If when he see the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, when whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. In application, this evening, we can turn to scriptures that will warn us of the judgment to come. If you do not take heed, the issue is between you and God. He has no other choice. If you reject him, as we sang, perish. That's solemn to think that someone, a loved one of yours, maybe you, will perish. By God's grace, listen to the message of God's word that you not perish. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, the last part of verse 7. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who? It's a question. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Your Sunday school teacher? Your parents? Maybe someone in a reading meeting? Maybe a friend at school? Has God sent someone across your pathway to warn you to flee from the wrath to come? And yet you sit here tonight, again, in another gospel meeting. Have you listened? Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 in the first part of verse 5. Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. You know the Lord Jesus Christ has warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Have you turned a deaf ear to him as well? Think. Let's go back to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, verse 4. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning. How many times have you sat in a gospel meeting? How many times have you been in a Sunday school and taken not warning? So I look around the room this evening. I see those who have sat in gospel meetings and in Sunday schools. Could it be that you have yet not taken warning? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Matthew 11 and verse 17. We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. You've heard the gospel preached in many ways. Maybe you've heard it piped. That's the joyful side. God loves the world. He loves you. You've heard of the joy of having your sins forgiven and knowing what it means to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you have not danced. You've been mourned to, perhaps. It's been brought before your conscience that you're a sinner and that you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've been told of judgment to come. You've not lamented. Could that be? Think. Let's go back to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33 and verse 5. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Solomon, we have two things here. One who does not take warning and one who does. First of all, let's talk about the one who does not take warning. What are warnings for? We talked about the warning signs out in the parking lot. Sometimes warning signs are a little more serious than just bumper collisions, little automobile accidents or things like that. There was a man who worked on the paint line in the factory. And he went to safety meetings, and he was warned, and there were warning signs in his work area. All paint equipment must have the ground cable hooked up. Why? Because static electricity can make a spark, and paint fumes are explosive. For many years, he worked in that factory. One day, he didn't think it was necessary to hook up the ground cable to his equipment. I remember that morning. The paint booth turned into a bomb. He was inside. They life-flighted him to a nearby university hospital, to the burn center. They told him, he only had 2 hours to live. He better bring his family. His family came. They called his family. They came. They said their goodbyes. That man passed into eternity. Another young man I knew very well, the age of some of these young men over here, very bright young man. He was an engineering tech. He was warned. He was told, if you're working under something that's a load, even if it's a hydraulic cylinder, always put up a support. Because you don't know if the cylinder will fail or a hose will break. Something might happen with a pin that holds the cylinder in place. You never know. He was working on a modification project for the engineering department. On a very large underground boring machine. And his body was between two pieces of equipment that should have been supported. Something happened. Lauren Leddington was crushed. But I want to tell you something else about Lauren Leddington. Lauren Leddington was a young man that grew up in a Sunday school like you. Lauren Leddington was a man who heard the gospel. I know his father, bright believer in the Lord Jesus. Lauren Leddington decided that he would not listen to the gospel. Lauren went his own way in his life. Until that navigator crushed him. Now today, Lauren Ledington is happy in the Lord, restored in his soul, but he'll spend the rest of his life in a wheelchair. But you know, tonight we're not talking about industrial accidents. We're not talking about road signs. We're talking about your soul. We're talking about eternal issues. Where will you spend eternity if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? John's Gospel, chapter 19. John's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 35. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, for this reason, that ye might believe. What did he see? What did he hear? There's a lot in the book of John that led up to this chapter. The Word became flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, came down into this world to be a man. He was the light of the world. He came to give life that we might have it more abundantly. He said, I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread that came down from heaven. He told all who he was. Man rejected him. Took him out to Calvary. Said, away with this man. We will not have him to reign over us. And they nailed him to a cross of wood in rejection. And as we heard last night, for 3 dark hours, God poured out his wrath and his judgment for your sins and mine upon that blessed man. He bore the judgment in our place. Along comes a soldier with a spear and pierces his side, and forthwith comes there out blood and water. My friend, that was for you. That was for me. That was for our redemption. Can you walk away tonight and turn from such love and say, no, I'd rather perish? That's what you're saying if you reject the Lord Jesus tonight. You're saying, no, I'd rather perish. Think of it. Let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33, we have brought before us some of the responsibility of, in type of the one who would stand up and speak. Verse 6, but if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet. And I would just say this to those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Let's blow the trumpet. In our lives, every day, those we come into contact with, let your light so shine before men. Blow the trumpet. Say a word when needed. If he blow not the trumpet and the people be not warned. That's why we're having a gospel meeting this evening, so that you're warned. If the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, and his blood will be required at the watchman's hand. It's solemn to have before us the issues of life and death and your soul's eternal destiny. Let's turn to John's Gospel, chapter 8. John's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 24. I said, who said? The Lord Jesus said. Let's listen. Therefore, unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Ye shall. If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. That one who is the great I am from an eternity past says to you, I am. Do you believe that he is? On the authority of his word, if you don't, you're going to die in your sins. So you shrug your shoulders. What does it mean to die in your sins? Don't say, I'll take that chance. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Definition of what it means to die in your sins. Is that you tonight? Born and raised in a Christian family? Said all the Sunday school verses? Sat good in the gospel meetings? And yet you don't believe? The Lord Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, let your conscience tell you what the answer is. Ye shall what? Listen to it. Die in your sins. Dreadful. Dreadful. No. That's not what Jesus wants for you. That's why he went to the cross. That's not what we want for you. We've come to know Christ as our Savior, and we want you to have that joy too. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. We're all people in here. We're part of the human race. We're part of mankind. And we all have an appointment with death. Remember at the beginning of the gospel meeting, we spoke of three verses that said, every knee shall bow. You have two. And every tongue shall confess. You have one. You can bow now. You can confess now. The Lord Jesus did something for you that you might be spared from judgment. Verse 28. So, this is the reason why Jesus Christ came. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Are you looking for the Lord Jesus? Are you looking for his return? Or does it scare you? This morning at the motel, we were done eating breakfast, and my youngest son and I walked to the elevator, and we were headed up to the room. And the elevator door was just about to close, and there was a couple in there. So we jumped on in. And as the door shut, he was kind of mockingly saying to the lady that was with him, "Shall we go to the Bible conference? We've been invited." I thought I would join his conversation, and I said, "Please, come. Please do, come." Then he named some other activity and said, "Or we could go do, and he named something else. And the lady that was with him just kind of sneered. The door opened, my son and I got off, the door closed. I don't know if I'll ever see that couple again, but I trust they rethink their choices when it comes to the solemnity of where the soul spends eternity. Some of you have heard this story. Suppose you don't mind me repeating again. It's worth repeating again. Brother at this conference reminded me of it. Not far from the town square in Pella, Iowa, it's a funeral home, Van Dyke Dubin. Some of you have been there for funerals, those in the assembly. Back in the 60s, Van Dyke Dubin was in operation then as well. It's been there many years, servicing the community. Someone from the gathering there in Pella had gone to be with the Lord. A funeral was being held. Up on the front row of that funeral home, during that service, sat three young couples. And as the message was being presented, they laughed quietly, passed notes quietly, made gestures back and forth, not paying any attention. The one who was speaking noticed that there was no or very little lack of interest with those three couples and turned directly to them and faithfully presented the Word of God, the way of salvation, to those three couples. They left the funeral home. They had a party to go to that night. Just a few miles east of Pella is what they used to call the lightning turnoff. At the intersection of the light and turnoff, those three couples were in a car accident. All six of their bodies were corpses back at Van Dyke Dubin Funeral Home that night. What if that was you? What if you think this message is funny? What if you don't take it seriously? May God spare you. May His grace work in His heart, in your heart. May you feel His love and grace. How that He went to the cross to bear your load of sins, that you don't have to perish. Back to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33 and verse 8. And when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. You say, well, I'm not wicked. I'm not wicked. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, and let's look at a list in verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars which have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, shall have their part. Unbelieving. The Lord Jesus said, if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall what? Think of it. Die in your sins. Back to our chapter. Verse 9. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and verse 11. And when the king came in, he saw guests. He saw guests. It was the king that saw. The king came in to see the guests. He saw. Can the king see you tonight? Yes, indeed he can. There was a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither? But let me say this, it's no mistake that you're here tonight. Don't let this man be you. Having a wedding garment, and he was speechless. Verse 13, Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and wailing, or weeping and gnashing of teeth. Who said those words? Those were spoken by Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Don't let it be you. Don't be that man. Let's go to verse 11. Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. We sang about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Why would he send his well-beloved Son on our behalf if he did? He loves us. He doesn't want us to perish. The rest of the verse. But that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye, turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die? Turn ye, turn ye. Matthew 11. In verse 28, come unto me, words of the Lord Jesus again, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. Does that sound like he delights in the death of the wicked? Come, he says. Come. He knows your burdens. He knows your trials. He knows your troubles. He knows your troubled heart. Come. Verse 12. Therefore thou, Son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. We're all sinners. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared in the person of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Can you see the blessing that God wants to bring to you? Don't say, no, I'd rather perish. Verse 13, the middle of the verse. If he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. Isaiah 64. And verse 6, well-known verse, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Do you see clearly what distances you from God? Our iniquities have taken us away. But the Lord Jesus Christ in His love paid the price on Calvary's cross that we might be set free. You know, this time of year you can look out on the trees and they're changing color. They're going to fall off the tree. We fade like a leaf. You know, the remark was made last night. Young people, just give it 50 years. Give it 50 years. See what you look like. But we're not guaranteed 50 years. If you only have the rest of the evening, still, your righteousness is not enough. Verse 14, the middle of the verse, if ye turn from your sins, turn to who? To Christ. Isaiah 45 again. And verse 22, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Look unto me, and be ye saved. God wants to save you tonight. And it's through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that He paid the price of redemption on Calvary's cross that you might be saved. Look. It's that simple. Look. Look. Look and live, we sang. Maybe you thought that you were just singing it along with us. Those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're singing it to you as a plea. How many of us who knew the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, as those words exited our lips, did we have a pang in our heart for someone in this room who may not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? It was for you, my friend. Back to our chapter. A look to Christ, the end of verse 15. He shall surely live. He shall not die. That's wonderful, isn't it? I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to give you life tonight. He stood in the gap that you might be saved. Verse 16. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and verse 38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. In whom a person, who is it? Verse 6 tells us it's the Beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's well-beloved Son, in whom we have present possession. Do you? We have redemption through His blood. Can you say that tonight? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. How rich is His grace? You can't measure it. Exceedingly abundant, beyond what we can measure. That's how much He loves you. You fill something up and it overflows. So you get a bigger container and you fill it up some more and that overflows. And you never can stop filling. That's His grace. That's His love. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, you have to believe it. If you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. It's by faith we believe. Being justified by faith, we have present possession again. Do you have it? We have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How about you? Is there still a question in your heart? If you go out this door and draw your last breath, would you perish? According to the definition that we read in God's Word. Would you be left behind for judgment? Where the words of the Lord Jesus spoke of weeping and gnashing of teeth? Think. Let's go back to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. The meeting is coming to a close, so we're going to go to the end of the chapter. Verse 32. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. Don't come up to me afterwards and say, hey, Mark, that was a nice meeting. Don't say those were lovely words. That's not what I'm interested in. I'm concerned about your soul. And there are others in this room as well that are concerned that you not perish. Verse 33. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. All these things that we have been speaking about this evening are on the authority of God's Word. All these things will come to pass. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. If the Lord Jesus were to come tonight, in the next moment, and you be left behind, and the seats around you empty, you will know. We don't want that for you. 2 Peter chapter 3. For the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all, that means you, should come to repentance. Come, just as you are, to the Lord Jesus. Receive him as your Savior. Accept his finished work on Calvary's cross as the substitute for your punishment, that you might not perish and have everlasting life. Come. Let's sing together number 12. Just as I am.